ಗೋವಿಂದ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯ ದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ನಮ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪತಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ಚಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಭಸ್ಕತ್ಯಾದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ಜೀವ ನಿಷ್ಠರಿಲ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಕರಿದಾನ ಗೀತಾ ಭಾಗವತೆ ಕೈಲ ಭಕ್ತಿರ ವ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾನ ಜೀವನಿಷ್ಠರಿಲ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಕರಿದಾನ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ಸ್ by offering the gift of Krishna Bhakti. This is Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna Bhakti. He explained Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Purport. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu is an incarnation of Vishnu for the welfare of the conditioned souls, he manifested himself as a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and throughout all his activities he showed himself to be an eternal servitor. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also manifested the same principle, although they also belong to the category of Vishnu. If Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu had exhibited their all-powerful Vishnu potencies within this material world, people would have become greater impersonalists, monists, and self-worshippers than they had already become under the spell of this age. Therefore, the personality of Godhead and his different incarnations and forms played the parts of devotees to instruct the conditioned souls how to approach the transcendental stage of devotional service. Advaita Acharya especially intended to teach the conditioned souls about devotional service. The word Acharya means teacher. The special function of such a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. A bona fide teacher following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya has no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an Acharya is that he presents himself as a servant of the Supreme. Such a bona fide Acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an Acharya to defy such imposters posing as God before the innocent public. Hare Krishna. As you all know, my dear devotees, friends and enthusiastic followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, we are approaching the sacred day of Gaur Purnim. Every day it is coming closer to the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, who came in this fallen age of Kali to distribute freely what no other incarnation had given previously, that is love of Godhead. How? Yes, by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I hope that in the times or lectures to come, we will be able to focus a little bit how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed love of Godhead through his Sankirtans. We will certainly hear a little bit about this. But today let us concentrate on a very nice fact. Before the Lord appeared, his devotees, his great devotees, appeared to prepare the ground for him. Exactly 52 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Advaita Acharya appeared. There is a transcendental leela which took place in the spiritual world, which tells us a little bit about the appearance of Lord Advaita Acharya. It was once the most merciful Sadashiva, the original form of Lord Shiva, was feeling very, very sad as he looked upon the fallen and deplorable state in this age of Kali. He felt very sad because people were very fallen and very far away from God consciousness. So he went to Lord Mahavishnu, from whom this material universe manifested, and told him, my dear Lord, I am so sad to see that the people in this age of Kali cannot take the advantage of Krishna consciousness. They are behaving very degraded. What to do? At that time, Lord Mahavishnu looked at Sadashiva and said, I have a secret for you. Quite soon, you will see with your own eyes the most merciful Lord appearing in the form of Lord Gauranga. This form of the Lord has a golden complexion. He will dance and distribute love of Godhead even to the most unqualified people. Lord Gauranga is so extremely merciful. Let us chant the names of Gauranga. And they started to chant the names Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And as they were chanting, feelings of ecstasy came into their hearts. They jumped up and started to dance, Lord Sadashiva and Mahavishnu. And then they embraced. And in their embrace, they became one form. And Mahavishnu said, and do you know what? And Sadashiva was quivering like a citadel. Do you know what? Both of us will come in this combined form, and we will be known as Advaita Acharya. And we will visit the past. We will witness the pastimes of the Lord. So in this way, Advaita Acharya took his sacred incarnation as the combined form of Sadashiva and Mahavishnu to not only witness but to help in the divine pastimes of the Lord. There are some very nice shlokas which I would like to read to all of you so that you can be convinced of this fact. Mahavishnu jagat karta mayaya srijat yada tasya avatara evayam advaita chara ishvara. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Vishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. And then, from Gora Ganodesha Dipika, Bhakta Avatara Acharyo Dvaita Yashri Sadashiva. He who was Sri Sadashiva is the Bhakta Avatar Sri Advaita Acharya. Yes. Now, this combined form of the... I do not know if you look so tired from your travels. I don't... Why are you not excited? Isn't this just... I mean, the origin of the material world from whom the universes emanate embraces Lord Shiva and comes as Advaita Acharya. This is enough to keep us busy for the whole night, thinking. This is a very, very wonderful. Please allow that the transcendental subject touches our stone-like heart and breaks it, so that some of the original qualities of the soul shine forth. Hare Krishna. He appeared as the son of Kubera and Labha Devi. Kubera was the court pandit, der Hofpandit oder Hofgelehrte of the king Divya Singh Dev. There are a few stories about Advaita Acharya during this time. During this time he was called Kamalaksha, the lotus-eyed one. He was a beautiful child to behold of, and he became the friend of the king's son, the prince. So once both of them were playing and coming into the temple of Chandi, the goddess Durga, and the prince paid his obeisance, and Advaita Acharya would not bow down. Kamalaksha did not bow down. The little boy, the prince, said, "You have entered the temple of the powerful goddess of the material world and you don't bow down?" "No, I do not have to bow down." So the little boy, the prince, was so disturbed that he ran to his father, "Father, father, my friend doesn't bow down." And Divya Singh came there and said to his son was so agitated and said, "What's the matter? Why don't you pay your obeisances?" At this moment, the deity of Durga broke. Durga came out of the deity and said, "He is my master. He doesn't have to bow down to me. I have to bow down to him. Please accept my most humble obeisances," and paid her obeisances to Lord Advaita Acharya. Everyone was shocked and was very happy to see this glorification of the little unusual boy who had performed so many different things which made people wonder. Like once he was with his guru, family guru, and they went through a jungle and there was a big lake. And the guru said, "Oh, Kamalaksha, please give me the lotus flower which grows in the middle of the lake." The boys looked at Kamalaksha, because everyone knew there were many snakes in that lake. But Kamalaksha started to go, and then he walked, listen to this, on the lotus flowers in the water. Chum, 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 chum. And all of a sudden, a powerful snake rose out of the water and shaded his head with its many, many hoots. And Kamalaksha picked the lotus flower and gave it back to his guru. With 12 years, Kamalaksha left the house of his father and mother and came to the sacred town of Navadvip. He knew, "My master Gauranga will appear here," and he engaged himself in study. A little later, it is described that he met his own eternal spiritual master, and the other was an instructing spiritual master, Maravindra Puri. And it is described he was on a South India journey and came to an area of Vaishnavas which were discussing the holy scriptures. One disciple of Maravindra Puri gave a lecture, And he explained the subject matter of the scriptures in a unique way. I do not know if you have heard that Madhavendra Puri is the great Acharya who brought the seed of love of Godhead to this world, which was later taken up by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and expanded. If this is a difficult subject, do not worry. It will become revealed in due course of time in your lives. He had for the first time in our Sampradaya this knowledge of the most, exalted states of love of God. And before that, people had only a more distant and neutral relationship to the Supreme Lord, not this relationship in the other rasas. So Madhavendra Puri was full of love of Godhead, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation in the line which came from him. Now, when Advaita Acharya heard for the first time with his own ears the wonderful descriptions of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, he fainted. When he woke up, he saw the most wonderful personality standing before him. It was Madhavendra Puripad. Madhavendra looked at Advaita Acharya. He had tears in his eyes. He was gazing at him with great love. Advaita Acharya felt himself drawn by the gaze of Madhavendra Puri. He knew, this is my guru. He got up and he started to chant in love of Godhead the holy names of the Lord. Madhavendra Puri heard him chanting. He embraced him, and disciple and guru danced and then fell onto the earth to wetten the earth with their ecstatic tears and their perspiration. Haribol. Then Advaita Acharya went on to Vraj and stayed in the holy valley of the Govardhan hill. There, one fine old evening, in a vision, he saw a beautiful deity, Madan Mohan. And he said, my dear Advaita, I'm here under one of these bushes. Please come and get me. I want to be worshipped now. For so long I'm sleeping here. Now I want to be worshipped. Does this remind you of some Leela? You have a remembrance? No, you were, yeah. Yeah, Gopal who appeared to Madhavendra Puri and told him, I want to be worshipped by you. In Vrindavan, there were many deities who disappeared and later appeared to great devotees and asked them to be excavated, also ausgegraben by them. So Advaita Acharya followed the vision. He got the deity and he installed him in Dvadasha Ditya Tila. That's a place in Vrindavan. He also asked two Brijbasi Brahmanas to take care of his worship because they were going. Now, after some time, he got a notice. The Brijbasi Brahmana said, oh, Mahashay, a great tragedy has happened. The deity has disappeared. So Advaita Acharya was very worried what has happened. And then in the vision he saw Madan Mohan. He said, I had to leave that place for some time because there were some Pathans coming, some Muslims who wanted to destroy my temple and myself. And therefore I took the form of Gopal and ran away. Haribol. And then he told Advaita Acharya where he was hiding. The Vedacharya told it to the Brahmanas, and then they found him. And Madan Mohan has said, because I have run away in the form of a cowherd boy, I want to be called now Madan Gopal. The old name is no longer relevant for me. My name is now Madan Gopal. Bring me to, you will see tomorrow, a Brahmana will come from the Chobi caste. And he's from Mathura, and he will, I want to go with him and be worshipped in Mathura. It's safer. And also the Chobis like so much sweets, so they will offer many sweets. 2 years ago, I was in Mathura with some Chobi Brahmanas. You could see they had impressive bellies, and they are able to eat much sweets. It is known. So Madan Gopal's cowherd boy, he wants sweets. Later, as you know, Madan Gopal made another wonderful arrangement. He appeared to Sanatan Goswami and called him and said, I want to be worshipped now with you. Please come and bring me to this place in Vrindavan, the Dvadaditya Tila, and there I will be worshipped by you only. You know, and then he was known again as Madan Mohan. This is a little history of our deity. Madan Mohan is now on our altar here. He has many. We have to be careful. He sometimes leaves. let us keep him here as much as possible. He is like this. He is very restless. His quality. So, after Vrindavan, Advaitacharya went back to Navadvip. He opened a school, we hear, where he preached the Bhagavad and the Bhagavad Gita. Here it is described. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna Bhakti. He explained Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. At that time, my dear devotees, it was a very difficult time in Navadvip. It is described that the people were totally irreligious. Yes, they were scholars of the scriptures. Yes, they knew scriptures in and out, but they had no bhakti. And therefore, they engaged in many, 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 let me say, degraded activities. For instance, they were thinking about was marriage, Haribol. They married even animals. They were worshipping tantric goddesses which were helping them in their sexual potency. I do not want to make you shocked, because you are a saintly audience and so on. It was unbelievable. It was just atheistic skepticism and so on. It was very bad, really. They were only talking about logical things, back and forth, but not about bhakti and about the real treasure of life, to become a devotee of the Lord. So Advaitacharya was the only one who gave the right explanation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in his school, all the Vaishnavas came for Bhagavad Katha. Every day he was preaching, and it was the refuge, die Zufluchtsstätte, of the Vaishnavas at that time. Now it became so degraded that Advaitacharya could not tolerate any longer the state of the human beings. He often said, soon I will take on my forearm form as Mahavishnu, and I will destroy all these atheists. It's too much. This is, I do not know, saintly devotees feel sometimes when the atmosphere gets too materialistic, they just say, this is too much, and something needs to be done. So what Advaitacharya at the end did, he didn't take on his forearm form, but he called to the Lord. He read in one scripture that by worshipping the Shalagam Shila with the Tulasi leaf, all the desires can be fulfilled. I believe it was the Skanda Purana in which the shloka was. He read this, and then he took a shila and worshipped every day with some tulasi manjaris and Ganges water at the bank of the river Ganga, the Lord. Do you know what Shila this was? A Nrsimha Shila. I do have a picture. It's a nice, he has a nice open mouth like this. He still worshipped in Shantipur. Yes, he worshipped him every day. And it is described that he called to the Lord with loud calls. Srila Prabhupada says, with trumpet-like calls. Trumpet? Very loud. This gives us a very, very nice and inspiring point for our contemplation and meditation. We must be very eager to receive the Lord in our heart. If we do not have eagerness, the Lord will not come. But if we are very eager, he becomes attracted to the eagerness in our heart and appears. And this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Later, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested himself and showed how he is actually identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sat on the, on the altar, and he manifested a very divine form. Many demigods came at that time and prayed to him. I always remember the work of Dante in this connection, who spoke about this Göttliche Komödie and so on and so forth. The whole sky was full with heavenly beings who glorified the effulgent form of Mahaprabhu, who was sitting there on the altar. And he had sent for Advaita Acharya and said, "My dear Advaita, please come, I will show my form. The Lord for whom you have prayed has finally come. So now you also come." So, but Advaita Acharya, he left Shantipur, but he went into a place just next to where this happened. It is the place of Nandan Acharya, a famous place for hiding of great personalities in Mahaprabhu Leela. And then he waited for Mahaprabhu to call him personally. Mahaprabhu called him when he took on this form. "Advaita, come! You are hiding at Nandananda's place." Then Advaita Acharya came with his wife Sita. They had an arati plate. They worshipped the Lord, and so on and so forth. And then Advaita Acharya lost his consciousness. He actually fainted. So when he woke up, he said, "My dear Lord, you have finally appeared. Hare Krishna. You have finally appeared before me. I'm so thankful to you. Now I have two desires." And please listen to the two desires of Advaita Acharya, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled them. He said, "My first desire is that you give love of Godhead even to those who are totally unqualified." He mentioned many groups which are now controversial to mention in ISKCON. Give love of Godhead to everyone, please. And to the most fallen, and he mentioned many types of fallen people. And then he said, "My dear Lord, I have a second desire. Please do not give love of Godhead to those who are arrogant and who are blaspheming Vaishnavas." And that's Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, Advaita Acharya, I will follow your two requests." It is described that those who blaspheme Vaishnavas, who talk bad about them in words, in minds, on com, or wherever, the dark cloud of Jagai and Madai sin will enter into them. You know, when Jagai and Madai, the two sinners, were forgiven, at that time, the dark cloud entered the body of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya's golden body became blackish. And Advaita Acharya joked at that time. He said, "Now you look exactly like Syama Sundara of Vrindavan." Mahaprabhu said at that time that the actions of these sins will go to those who blaspheme Vaishnavas. They have no possibility to take love of God. He fulfilled, in other words. Now, in Lord Chaitanya's relationship to Advaita Acharya, there was one very sweet secret which I want to explain to you. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an amazing shloka where the Lord says that he walks behind his devotees to become purified by the dust from their lotus feet. He says, "I gain my potency by that dust." And Lord Chaitanya was always worshipping Lord Advaita Acharya in this way. Once he came, this is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Actually, most of what we hear today is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. One day he came to where Advaita Acharya was. Advaita Acharya had just worshipped Tulasi and started to worship Lord Vishnu. And he sang beautiful prayers to Lord Vishnu, so beautiful that Lord Chaitanya fainted. And when he woke up, he looked at Advaita Acharya with eyes full of love, and he said, "You have sung about the Lord. You are the real benefactor." And then he took the dust of Advaita Acharya on his head and rubbed it all over his face. "By this dust, I am becoming purified." Have you ever smeared the dust from the feet of Vaishnavas over your bodies? It's extremely important. "By this dust, I become purified." Advaita Acharya was, "My Lord, my Lord. This is not good. Please don't do this." So next time, when they had a huge kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic that in the kirtan he fainted. And at that time, Advaita Acharya came and touched his lotus feet and smeared the dust of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet when he was unconscious over his body. When Mahaprabhu woke up from his ecstatic trance, he said, "Advaita." No, he said, I'm feeling so empty. My whole ecstatic ecstasy is gone. What has happened?" He looked around in the devotees, and Advaita Acharya smiled and said, "My Lord, I'm a great thief." "Advaita," said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I am a beggar of love of Godhead." See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes was in the mood of Bhagavan when he displayed his opulences, but other times he was in the mood of a devotee calling for the Lord. "Advaita, how can you steal from a beggar?" "Now the one who is robbed will rob himself." And then he laughed and he jumped at Advaita Acharya and took the feet of Advaita Acharya on his head. And what could Advaita Acharya do? He was 52 years older. "Ha ha ha ha, I'm taking everything and more back," said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was a constant problem for Advaita Acharya. It was a great, because he felt himself as a servant. We had some other, as he said, there's one Mahaprabhu and two other serving Prabhus. The two others are Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. So he said, "I want to be the servant of Mahaprabhu, but he always takes me as his older. He always respects me. I can never ever get the bliss of the inferior. I do not know if you are aware in spiritual life, it is very good to be an inferior person, because we can only reach the transcendental world if we make ourselves very small, if we become small, if we become helpless, if we become prayerful. It is the greatest richness for someone in spiritual life is to be inferior. The greatest happiness for someone in material life is to be superior to someone, höhergestellt. But in spiritual life, one wants to become inferior. One wants to become the servant, because one knows that's the way to enter. Now, Advaitacharya felt bereft of this, hat sich beraubt gefühlt dieser Möglichkeit, and therefore he devised a trick. One morning, as he was explaining to the Vaishnavas the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, actually, all this time I have misled you. Ich habe euch irregeführt. Jnana is higher than bhakti. Behind the Lord, there is actually the impersonal Brahman. And by jnana we can reach it. By bhakti we only go to the Lord, but we don't go to the highest form of the Lord. But the devotees came in the evening to in the afternoon to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they told him what Advaitacharya had said, totally contradicting all he had said before, totally contradicting the Bhakti Shastras. And Mahaprabhu became red with anger. One of his name is Chaitanya Singha, the lion. Have you ever seen a lion in attack? In a movie, maybe? No? Sometimes? I have never seen it. I don't want to see it, because I will become totally afraid. I know. When they go like... and they start with their full attack, it is just... Hare Krishna, I saw something like this. This year we were in Ahobalam, and it was said there are tigers, so I was always waiting to see a tiger, but a lion is too much. So Mahaprabhu came like this, coming to Shantipur, and he, in the midst, it was the evening program, or the evening lecture of Advaitacharya, he jumped on him, he tore him down from his seat, he threw him on the ground. The hairs of Advaitacharya and the beard was flying, and he jumped on his chest and said, "You are declaring that I am formless, that I cannot see, that I cannot hear. This is what you are telling me. And you say jnana is superior, the path of dry intellectual mundane speculation, to bhakti. Say this again in my presence." And Advaitacharya was getting ecstatic. Finally, the Lord was treating him as his inferior, and he said, "Yes, jnana is higher than bhakti." This is very ecstatic. And Mahaprabhu was thrashing him back and forth. And Sita Maharani came. "He's an old man. You will kill him. You will kill my husband." And she was laughing in ecstasy, because she knew Advaitacharya had gotten what he was dreaming of, in an inferior position. How different this transcendental personalities are than we have learned it in our Kali Yuga school. Yes. Once, Advaitacharya came to the house of Srivas. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. And he started to... psht, 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 psht. Like our little girls today, they sometimes talk... psht, 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 psht. It is natural. Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you making psht psht? What are you psht psht? And Srivas Thakur said, "My dear Lord, Advaita Acharya has one request. He has not seen you in the form in which Lord Nityananda has seen you. He has not seen you as Shyama Sundara." So Lord Chaitanya was just in the mood of the bhakta. He said, "Ah, I'm not able to. I'm the devotee." Then he said, "Meditate. Maybe Lord Shyama Sundara will appear in your heart." That time Advaita Acharya closed his eyes. Then all of a sudden, he had ecstatic transformations in his heart. He fainted. And only after some time he got up again. "What have you seen?" said Srivas Thakur. And Advaita Acharya was crying. I saw. The personality of Mahaprabhu entered my heart and transformed himself into Shyama Sundara. And then he came out again as Mahaprabhu and sat before me. Haribol. And he chanted, "Gauranga, Gauranga, you have appeared to save the most fallen. Please, give me your mercy also." Yes. Anyways, there are many transcendental leelas with Advaita Acharya. Finally, one of the greatest mystery of our Krishna conscious knowledge happened, which I want to read to all of you, if you are still able to. It's the last point. I think it is very nice if we hear it. Yes. Advaita Acharya once met a dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. It was Jagadananda Pandit. It was at the end of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Now Advaita Acharya was the one who had called Mahaprabhu to appear. It was up to him to send Mahaprabhu away. Sometimes in puja we have this art, we have some mantras which we chant where we call the deity for some time. It's called the Utsava deity. It's a festival deity. During a festival the deity is called, and then after the festival the devotee says, "My dear Lord, we are poor, we have no money, no time, we can't continue to worship you. With your permission, you may kindly go now." It is not and the Lord knows, yes, I come when my devotees want me to come, and I will go when my devotees want me to go. They never want me to go, actually, but in that deity form. So here Advaita Acharya said, "Jagannananda, you give the Lord one poem which I have written." Jagannananda did not know what this poem meant, and it was cryptic, es war geheimnisvoll, es war eine verschleierte Botschaft, because otherwise Jagannananda would never have brought this poem to Mahaprabhu. In his sonnet, was ist ein Sonnet? Can you help us with this? It's a certain poetical form, huh? Yeah. Sonnets, yeah. Some type of poem. In his sonnet, Advaita Prabhu first offered his obeisances hundreds and thousands of times unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then submitted the following statement at his lotus feet. Bola ke kahike loka haila bola, bola ke kahiba hote navikaya chola. Bol, what means bol? A bowl is a madman. Hare Krishna. Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace rice is no longer in demand. Bola ke kahiha kaya nahika ola, bola ke kahiha iha kahiyache bola. Those now mad in ecstatic love. Love has spoken these words. When he heard Advaita Acharya's statement, Jagadananda Pandit began to laugh. When he returned to Jagannath Puri, Neelachal, he informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of everything. After hearing the equivocal sonnet, what is equivocal, please? After hearing the equivocal sonnet by Advaita Acharya, After hearing the poem with two meanings by Advaita Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quietly smiled. That is his order, he said. Then he fell silent. And then one of the devotees asked him, who saw the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Everyone had laughed about this. One madman, what is it? Informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. In other words, he tells him everyone is full with love of Godhead, like someone like the people who have visited a marketplace and have now all enough rice, so that they don't, that there is no need any longer to sell rice. He tells him, your mission is complete, my dear Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Swarup Damodar knew this secret. He's the most confidential servant of the Lord in his Puri pastimes. But he asked, what is the meaning of this sonnet? I could not understand it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Advaita Acharya is a great worshipper of the Lord and is very expert in the regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic literatures. Advaita Acharya invites the Lord to come and be worshipped, and to perform the worship, he keeps the deity for some time. After the worship is completed, he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. Advaita Acharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him. He is expert in writing sonnets that even I myself cannot understand. Hearing this, all the devotees were astonished, especially Swarup Damodar, who became somewhat morose. Morose heißt traurig, sad. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly. His feelings of separation from Krishna doubled in intensity. As his feelings of separation in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani increased at every moment, the Lord's activities, both day and night, were now wild, insane performances. Suddenly there awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the scene of Lord Krishna's departure to Mathura, and he began exhibiting the symptom of ecstatic madness known as Urdgurna. That means, you know, the whole world will start to, when this starts, the whole world will start to smoke. It's such an intense mood of love of Godhead. Yes, so this is some of the wonderful pastimes of Advaita Acharya. We should feel glad that we are entering now into a stream of wonderful festival days. Soon, the Avadhuta, Nityananda, Mahaprabhu will appear. I mean, his appearance day will come. And then Gopunim will come. I want to tell you something personal. I was, of course, celebrating many Gopunims and many... And always again the day came, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda's appearance day, Nityananda's appearance day, Mahaprabhu's appearance day. And I was going on in my life until only a few years back, when something dawned on me. As one becomes older in Krishna consciousness, I suppose it is a natural feeling which you also have, that one really asked himself or herself, how can I, who am so fallen, so much, you know, away from spiritual life, how can ever something start in my heart? Do you sometimes have this question? I can imagine Mangal Mayaprabhu, you know, it comes when one gets older. When does it start? Something come up? No? Not yet. Oh. It is desired that one feels, how can I become Krishna conscious? We are always talking about it, but I'm not Krishna conscious. Something must change. One feels like this. At that time, the question comes very, very deep in one's life. How can I make spiritual advancement? And once this question becomes very sincere, then the Lord will start to give answers. He is never silent when someone knocks at his door at the house of bhakti. He came to distribute bhakti. And the answer becomes very, very clear. It is possible by mercy. The Bhagavatam says the most active principle in spiritual life is mercy. The active principle of most of us coming here is benzene, burning benzene. Without the benzene burning, we would not have come here. In the same way, the active principle of our spiritual life is absorbing mercy of the Lord. Now, when we look for mercy, we naturally look for the one who is most merciful. And there is no question, there never was any incarnation of the Lord who was more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his distribution of prema is still going on. I was remembering yesterday together with Shishtikata, when we were on our pilgrimage, there was a group of Vaishnavas who were singing every evening, Prem Datta Gonitai, Prem Datta Gonitai. It was so intense that although we were already asleep, we were jumping out of our beds and, you know, Prem Datta Gonitai, Prem Datta Gonitai. Prem Datta means the ones who give prema. Gonitai. And this is the most merciful incarnation of the Lord who is coming, and in this age we can contact them by their ecstatic holy names, in this way be connected. So my dear devotees, please do not doubt. We are coming now into a very auspicious time of the year. It is every day the day of Mahaprabhu is appearing. Let us prepare our hearts and our moods so that the Lord can appear in our heart and pull it away from this material world to his lotus feet, and then we should give away our key. It should be locked there. Throw the key in the Ganga. Just leave our heart there. And in this way, live a spiritual life. It's very ecstatic to hear about Advaitacharya and his wonderful relationship to the Lord, the one who called the Lord, the one who served the Lord, the one who couldn't serve the Lord, the one who developed a trick to serve the Lord, to become inferior to the Lord, and be in the mood of a servant, and so on. I feel personally that this may be one of the most important points Advaitacharya teaches us. After all, we heard, he is teaching the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in the pure light of devotional service. Something like this was in the verse. His most important teaching may not be that he called the Lord. We may not be so pure in our heart that we sit down in the midst of Germany and call for the Lord and then he appears. This we cannot do. maybe. We can call, of course, but it's not yet the time for an incarnation of the Lord. Anyway, it comes a little bit further into Kali Yuga, and by that time we hope to not be here any longer. So, but what we can do is to think ourselves or get into the mood of a servant. When you go into a different country, you have to show your visa. Like when we go to India, they will come and look, is your visa intact? When you want to go to the land of, to the kingdom of God, this is happy news. When you want, you must tell your baby tsunami, it is happy news which come now. <It's okay. laughs> when you want to go into the kingdom of the Lord, then you have to have a visa in your passport. This person was a good servant. Hari Bol. Then, oh yes, come. Come, go through. And this is what Advaitacharya's intense desire is. You know, to be that the Lord will see him as his servant, stop seeing him as his superior. We can follow this example in our lives. Hare Krishna. So I have come to a natural conclusion. I have one very important announcement, which is not planned. I mean, I ended my lecture, but I do have to make this announcement. Maybe because otherwise it looks so plump. I will do the announcement afterwards. Let me first see if you have some questions regarding this or other subjects. Hare Krishna. Yes?
We hear from that Advaita that he prayed for the Lord to come and that he also invited him to go because his mission is complete.
Yes.
Was completed. And we see in the history that when Lord Chaitanya left and all his associates right after, maybe 100 years ago, I'm not so expecting what we saw, that the influence of the Vaishnavas was diminishing on the planet.
Stimmt.
And again, the demonic qualities came up to.
Stimmt.
And sometimes when we hear that, then maybe we as devotees, we get down. How can it be that that is the strong force of this demonic influence is so powerful that it again came to us and this bhakti, science bhakti was lost so quickly? Because Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, so was he only merciful to the people who had pressed
that
time when he was there? Or how can we see that mercy still in us?
What a good question,
still
yes.
Still coming up today, because we see still the demonic influence gets even worse and worse than it was 500 years ago.
Gute Frage, good question.
What did we as devotees do wrong to lose that track?
You need, I think the answer is in a certain Leela of Mahaprabhu. When he went down, when he went with Krishna Das, his servant, to South India, Krishna Das, it is said to say, fell in Maya. Srishtikata and myself, we visited that place where that happened because we wanted to get the atmosphere, you know, we visited this year this place where the personal associate of the Lord fell in Maya in the Lord's presence. The detail was shocking. He was going to he was associating with women for loose sensual activities, and Lord Chaitanya had to personally come and save him. This shows us that even at the time of Mahaprabhu, Maya's influence was there, and it was able. She was able to capture one whose determination was not very strong. But your question is so. So I think it's not astonishing that there is Maya's influence in this material world. It's just she has this work to test anyone, and only let those who are very serious go back home, back to Godhead. If you really think about it, Mangamaya, to get love of Godhead in this world, although it has become very easy, it is a struggle, Haribol. We have to show our real desire to only want this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even if I should wait millions of births, he describes this determination, and even if the Lord of Vaikuntha personally puts obstacles on my path, I will never ever give up to desire your association. So that is necessary. And when one is not strong enough, Maya has an easy play. Krishna. Now, why did this happen, this historical thing which you have said? I have learned from superior Vaishnavas that sometimes the current of bhakti is like a river over water, over land, and then it goes like an undercurrent, ein unterirdisch fließender Strom, underneath, and it merges again. This is the way of bhakti. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, soon after he left, the river of bhakti went under earth. There were certainly great souls who practiced the pure Vaishnava dharma, but it went under earth. Lord Chaitanya had just sent all the living entities of the world back home, back to Godhead, and now came a winter time of bhakti, and then Lord Chaitanya again sent, this is what I also heard, two of his personal associates, that is Gorkhasur Das Babaji and Bhaktivinod Thakur, to bring the water, the current up. Bhaktivinod Thakur, that is what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has said, was Gadadhar Pandit. Wow. And Gorkhasur Das Babaji was Swarup Damodar. He again sent them, and they again took the current of bhakti up. And we are so fortunate. We are in this current of bhakti came through Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and through our Srila Prabhupada. But you will see in the next few years so many upper siddhantic ideas will come up. You know, Sahajiyanism will spread in the West. We will see this with our own eyes. That so many things will come where the clear current of Mahaprabhu's mercy, Maya will try to divert it, but we will not. We will try to bathe like happy swans in the river of bhakti and eat the lotus from the lotus flowers on this river. So. Shyamala, sofort, Christian. Ich möchte dir unbedingt heute noch was mitgeben. Du musst nach Hause, oder? Ja. Oh, Krishna. Es reicht auch, wenn ich dich morgen... Please, one moment. Es reicht, wenn ich dich morgen... Kann ich dich heute Abend anrufen? In the beginning, to be a servant means to do what the master wants. Now, as we gradually advance in Krishna consciousness, something wonderful will happen. we will develop what is called a specific attachment to the Lord. And we will take birth in the Lord's pastimes, and then we will be instructed what our service to the Lord is at that time. See, here we start with doing what the Lord wants us to do, and then when we are perfect in this mood as servants, the Lord will reveal through his confidential associates our eternal Swarup. Now a servant may mean to worship the deities. When they are hungry, to cook prasadam for them, to cook bhoga for them, to do what they want. Then, when we are more advanced, then we will be knowing what is our eternal specific service. We have all an eternal specific Swarup. It is also described in the scriptures that a servant has to cross a mountain, the mountain of false ego. In the Vedic mantras, you have often heard Namaha, Om Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya. There are so many Namahas always. Na means not, Ma means ego. This is the ego is in the Brihad, something Brihad Purana, is between us like a mountain, and to be a servant means to be to realize Mahaprabhu's instructions of crossing the ego by the Trinadapi Shloka, by the instructions of the Trinadapi Shloka, to be more humble than the straw in the straw in the gasse street, to be more tolerant than the tree. So difficult to give honors to other and to not expect for honors for ourselves. To be a servant, we also accept another servant of the Lord. Like Lord Chaitanya gave his in interpretation, he said, I'm not directly the servant of Krishna. I'm such a servant, I'm the servant of the servant only. Das, adas, das, anudas. And we try our servitude in relationship to a dear servant of the Lord who is connected with the line of Mahaprabhu's wonderful servants like Srila Prabhupada and so on. What does it really mean to be a servant? What it really means is to get into the mood. Because there are two different types of servants. One is the external servant, and one is the one who is internally. The scriptures give us the example of an external servant who does not really think about serving the master. He thinks about serving himself. He's like, compared to be like a crane. In Raj, you might have seen the Kanisha. They are standing there. They look very renounced, very thin. But they practically look like yogis. But they only look for the fat fishes who swim. And once they come, they take and they swallow the fishes down. So this is what happens with all those. When we don't have the internal mood of the servant, if we don't really mean it, if we don't really understand it, the need, we may cheat others and maybe ourselves for some time, but it won't work for all the time. These are very, I'm sorry to give such an example, but this is the example which is given. We must develop the servant, the service mood inside, and therefore it's so important to give up false ego. Therefore it's so important to develop Trinadapi Sunichena Taro Iva. It's so important because the mood has to come. We will give a a discussion in the Veda Academy soon, and I can't wait for that moment when we will talk about the Nectar de Hingabe, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the whole point, really, the very deep point in the first wave of the Nectar of Devotion, is how can we come from the external activities where we engage body and senses into the mood and into the internal mood. And this is described, this only possible really by coming in contact with the divine energy of the Lord who can transform us. Hare Krishna. How do we become an internal servant? Oh, yes. By mercy, Mahaprabhu. And by pleasing them in their mission. Gute Nacht. Go. Rashiro Mani.
A question related to Anumaya's question. Krishna is the absolute, always active person. So how is it possible that someone who is under the influence of the lower modes of nature is not attracted by him? Because if he's absolute, he should attract anyone under any condition.
It is described, two people will not be attracted to Krishna. The killer of their souls, that is those who go into material life with sense gratification, bhugaishvaya prasaktanam, those who are too much absorbed in sense gratification, and pashukna, those who are killers of others. Now it's interesting, the killers of others are usually envious people. Killing means violence. Do you know that violence has two forms? The subtle form is envy. That's the subtle form of violence. The next step is physical violence. So these two people cannot become attracted to the Lord. He's absolutely attractive for the and nice devotees. See, the Lord, the point is, the Lord would be also attracted to the atheists, but they would consider him as an object of their lust because of their lusty mentality. So therefore the Lord is covered for them by his covering potency. It's not that he couldn't attract them. Oh, have you ever seen sometimes karmis, you know, they see the picture of Krishna. He's the most beautiful girl. Have you ever? I've seen many times. He's attractive, but he, most of the time, because he doesn't want this, you know, he reserves the right to not be known by the atheists. And he's covering them with his deluding potency. They can't see him. Oh, he's so attractive, you can't believe. Once he appeared to Lord Shiva, who thought he's beyond all attractions by the opposite sex, in the most beautiful form, Mohini Murti. And I cannot tell you what happened then. It is too intense. He's covering himself. Now we are a little late. We are at 9:50. It is very nice to see all of you. Please, the devotees who have come tomorrow, come and visit Radha Kunya Bihari. They are asking, where are all the devotees? Today no one has come. Many have come. I want to make now a very important announcement. Please listen carefully. We want to make the most beautiful festival in a time which needs festivals, but we are very short of manpower and woman powder, power, and children powder, powder, power. Mm-hmm. And we want to request everyone who has come here to please engage in devotional service. Please ask Gaura Bhavani, Nishingananda, these two devotees about services. And I feel if every one of us does a little bit, then it's not that so that you have to do so, I mean that you have to do so much. I can understand that you want to celebrate. You had a long journey and a long many days of service at your place. And so if everyone just does an hour, 2 hours, everything will be done very nicely. Yeah? So please be so kind and help in some ways. It is blissful. It is the Lord Nityananda's appearance day. He will certainly reward all the services which are done to the devotees in great ways. Hare Krishna. I can't wait to see the place filling up. It's already so full with so many nice devotees, but more will come in the future. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gaunitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Harirbo. Yeah. I actually need to see the following devotees, Gadadhar.